Good morning, everybody. You're not very good at that, are you? Good morning, everybody. The word of the Lord this morning is from the first book of Samuel, chapter 7 and verse 2, page 277 in the church Bibles. 1 Samuel, chapter 7, verse 2 through to verse 13. It was a long time, 20 years in all, that the ark remained at Kiriath-Jearim, and all the people of Israel mourned and sought after the Lord. And Samuel said to the whole house of Israel, "If you are returning to the Lord with all your hearts, then rid yourselves of the foreign gods and the Ashtaroths, and commit yourselves to the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." So the Israelites put away their Baals and Ashtaroths, and served the Lord only. Then Samuel said, "Assemble all Israel at Mizpah, and I will intercede with the Lord for you." And when they had assembled at Mizpah, they drew water and poured it out before the Lord. And on that day they fasted, and there they confessed, "We have sinned against the Lord." And Samuel was leader of Israel at Mizpah. When the Philistines heard that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, the rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them. And when the Israelites heard of it, they were afraid because of the Philistines. They said to Samuel, "Do not stop crying out to the Lord our God for us, that he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines." Then Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it up as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. While Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day the Lord thundered with a loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. The men of Israel rushed out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them along the way to a point below Beth-Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen. He named it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far has the Lord helped us." So the Philistines were subdued and did not invade Israelite territory again. Throughout Samuel's lifetime, the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines. This is the word of the Lord. Okay, let's have a quick look at 1 Samuel 7, verses 2 to 13. It's no surprise for those that know me well that at a time like this, this is my passage. It is my favourite Bible name. The world is full of memorial stones. Blue plaques, war memorials, cemeteries. They commemorate man's achievements. They commemorate man's folly. They can have a powerful effect on you. Have you been to the Menin Gate? This huge stone structure carries 54,896 names of those whose bodies were never found in what was called the Ypres Salient in the First World War. You cannot help but be overwhelmed by it. The last post is played at sunset every day, and the words of Lawrence Binion are said every day at the going down of the sun and in the morning. We will remember them. It is incredibly moving. The total number of deaths in World War I is staggering. 10 million military personnel and about 7 million civilians. So this great memorial is built, as are many memorials all over the country. Why? So that we will remember them, and with it the hope that it will never happen again. Does it have a lasting effect? Well, 20 years later, the world lurches towards another war, where more than double that number lose their life. Now, why do I labour this? Lawrence Binyon's poem is entitled Lest We Forget. It's a fine thought. But either we do forget, or we remember, but it doesn't make any difference. So here's the problem. Human memorials tend to keep our focus backwards. Let's see how a biblical memorial, an Ebenezer, can take us forward as we look back and remember. Opportunities like this farewell service bring great dangers. Dangers I must avoid. It would be easy for me to jog sentimentally down the last 40 years with this story and that, as a head teacher I used to work for used to say, become overcome with emotion. But I must avoid that. What I must do, as if this were any other Sunday, which it is to proclaim the Lord Jesus. Let's look at our passage. What is it that leads to the erection of this memorial stone? Well, in the Israelites' roller coaster relationship with the Lord, they have departed from God's way, and punishment has come as a consequence. And, as is so often the way, the Lord uses these hard times to direct people's thoughts back to him. Verse 2, I notice that mourning led to seeking the Lord. And this meant a command. Verse 3, rid yourselves. And obedience. Verse 4, so the Israelites put away. And then confession. Verse 6, there they confessed, we have sinned against the Lord. And then, as is so often the case, and many of you will know this, that which is godly is followed by an attack from the enemy. The Philistines see them all gathered in one place and see an opportunity for what would amount to great slaughter. What does Samuel do? Run away? No. But run to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. What did the people have to do? Absolutely nothing. There's a massive thunderstorm, and panic sets in among the Philistines, and the Israelites give chase. It's a story of salvation. It's a story of the powerless saved by the Almighty. It's a story of the undeserving saturated in grace. So what are my Ebenezers? Well, there is one that towers above all others as I look back on it now. One I spoke about, erected in May 1975. It's a story of salvation. That's an Ebenezer. The Lord used hard times to direct my thoughts towards him. It took the form of a great unease, a great sense of needing to get right with God, a realization through the story of the prodigal son that I needed to rid myself of the mess that I was in, and in obedience to his call, return to my heavenly Father. I had nothing to do except turn to him, through the work of the Lord Jesus on the cross. It's a story of salvation. It's a story of the powerless saved by the Almighty. It's a story of the undeserving me, saturated in grace. It's the story of Jesus in my life, author and finisher. So my key Ebenezer stone is cross-shaped. And if you don't know a cross-shaped Ebenezer stone in your life, that is something you need to sort out for eternal reasons. Speak to someone before you leave about what it means to have a cross-shaped Ebenezer stone in your life. But there's more. If the verse just said, "The Lord has helped us," it could become simply a look back. But as we've thought, it mustn't be just a look back. The words "thus far" are key. It was a key for God's people in Samuel's time. It's a key for me. It's a key for you. It's a key for all God's people. What is the suggestion here? It is this. He helped us then, so look forward with confidence. Essentially, Ebenezer stones are not nostalgia stones. How do I know? Well, Philippians and chapter 3 and verse 13 tells me so. Paul writes, "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead." In other words, don't dwell on the past. As kids, most of us will have tried running backwards. I seem to remember it in sports days. But I dare say health and safety has put a stop to that these days. It is stupid. It can end in disaster, as it can do spiritually. Now, some of you will know my attitude to competitive sport, but it provides a useful analogy. England will look back to their humiliating dismissal from the World Cup. They will look back and hopefully learn lessons to improve their performance, possibly. Andy Murray will look back at his failure to repeat last year's performance at Wimbledon. Why? So that he can improve next year, possibly. And if that is the case for those involved in such monumental wastes of time, how much more important is it for us to look back on how God's much more positive input has worked in the past? Why? So that we can strain towards what is ahead. Since that day in 1975, when I became a Christian, and I look back on that Ebenezer stone, do you know what most of my Ebenezer stones are? They are people. They are the encouragers. "Wendy and I thank God for you. He placed you in the right place at the right time. Thus far has the Lord blessed through people." Jesus-shaped people. Cross-shaped people. Many of you will not know that they are our Ebenezer stones, but you are. Pastors, elders, but so many others. And we shall look back on 40 years with massive affection, with great thankfulness to God. But we move on, and we shall look back in order, I hope and pray, to strain for what is ahead. And our hope is that you will continue to work at being Ebenezer stones to each other. The future is full of change, particularly at the moment. This is a period of huge change in all sorts of ways for all of you at EEFC. and all the more need to be encouragers one to another. You might not be named Ebenezer, but make it your desire to be so serving the Lord Jesus that it might be said that through you, thus far, has the Lord blessed. You can't do it on your own, but as he did it for the Israelites of old, as they sought the Lord, he will do it for you. Will you determine to be cross-shaped, Jesus-shaped Ebenezer stones to those around you? May the light of the risen Jesus shine through your lives as a church, as families, and as individuals, in places and in circumstances which he has faultlessly placed you. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.